Okay. Hey, everyone. It is time for the iPhone Photo Show podcast. You'll never guess who's back with us today. The one and only Scott Bourne. Say hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's doing great, and we're thrilled to have Scott. We're going to talk about Scott changed his mind on the iPhone 14. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what to do if your young daughter or son says, help me take concert pictures with my iPhone, what to do. We're going to talk about cinematic mode, talk about the iPhone 15. But first, let's just check in with Scott. We haven't heard his voice for a while, and it's great to hear from you. How you doing, Scott?
Well, you know, all good things must come to an end, and sometimes they're reborn. And I had to take a break, but now I'm back for a little while. We'll see what happens. Not making any promises because tomorrow's not promised to any of us. But I am here, and I do have an iPhone 14 Pro Max. And I have a lot to say about it because I'm surprised by it. And I think I might be able to help a few people that might listen to this show.
Okay. Well, first of all, I always tell people not to buy iPhones in August. And to
terrible
wait.
Time.
Terrible is the time. Worst. That's the worst time because a new iPhone will be out in September, right after, well, at the end of the month, and the prices on the older models will go down. But you were down on the iPhone 14, and you're not now. You wrote a piece for the iPhonePhotoTeam.com website this week talking about how you had changed your mind and you were wrong. So why don't you tell everybody your thoughts?
Well, the only way that I would find out I was wrong was to be forced via mother necessity to get a new phone. And, you know, I used to sit there and think, who buys a phone in August? Turns out, I know two people that had to. A friend of mine and I both did because our old phones went kaput. Now, under a lot of circumstances, my phone going kaput would have just meant a call to AppleCare. But it turns out that when your dog takes your gadget bag and jumps into the ocean with it and then swims 100 yards out, then gets into a fight with a jellyfish and then loses your phone, that is not covered.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, I asked your advice because this happened. I have a friend. She didn't have AppleCare. Her phone died. She needed a phone for a job. You know, you said, just get the iPhone 13. It's cheaper. It's a terrible time to buy a 14. I thought that was decent advice. We couldn't find any. So, you know, I looked and then I thought, you know, I'm just going to buy the 14 and I'm just going to get what I always get. I'll just load this sucker up full bore, $2,000 worth. I still can't believe I paid $2,000 for a cell phone, but I did. And I have to say, I'm pleasantly surprised, Jefferson. It's part of my problem came from doing something that I said I wouldn't do, but I did. I listened to the pundits who told me that the sensor size wasn't going to change, and I operated on the assumption it wasn't and didn't upgrade, but it did. It's bigger. And if you'll remember my vociferous complaints about adding all these megapixels had to do with the same size sensor getting more megapixels, based on physics, has to equate to more noise. But I was wrong because it's not the same size sensor.
Okay, so you have a bigger sensor and you see the quality difference between a still that you shoot in 48 megapixel raw versus on the 13?
I do, and I will say that the usual suspects all apply here. Operating in good light, which is where I tend to live, because I understand we live in the time where there's a sect called the religion of low light, and many people buy their cameras based on how well they do at photographing a black cat in a barn at night with no moon and no light source. But I've been a guy my whole life who's chased light, and if there isn't any, I just make some. So under good lighting conditions, I actually think I can see the Apple Pro RAW file and look at it and say, yeah, that is definitely better. And not only do I say that, Jeff, I went ahead and grabbed a couple of shots from some DSLRs I had laying around. And at first blush, unless you pixel peeped, they were very comparable. Now, yeah. In poor light, yeah, it's all going to be boiling down to the Apple voodoo to make it look good, and it doesn't really matter. But in good light, you can see the difference.
Okay, so you talked at the beginning of the show about helping people. How can you help people with the iPhone 14?
Well, I can tell them not to buy one in August. But it might be a very good choice in September or October because it'll be cheaper than it is now. Right. And I just, unless you need the alleged 3X zoom that's coming, and I have a lot, and I mean a lot of doubt about how well that's going to perform. But unless you really need that and you just got to have the latest, greatest, bestest things, you can save some money, and it might be a double savings, Jeff, because all the word is that the Pro Max, which is what I buy of everything, the Pro Max is going to be even more expensive on the 15 by $100. Right. Now, the thing is, the savings on the old phones are not tremendous. Everyone says, yeah, you're going to save a lot of money. I have seen the savings be $100.
$100, yeah.
Yeah. Once in a while, $200, but usually $100. But in this case, it's a $200 swing. If it goes up $100 and you save $100, there's $200. And I think that the audience for our show, I think 99% of them aren't going to be able to get anything out of that 15 that they could get out of the 14.
Well, I am looking forward to the telephoto lens, the 5X zoom supposedly being added. And I will say, I've just gone on a 30-day trip through the West, and I bought myself a Galaxy S23 Plus, mostly so I could answer people's questions when they say, how do I do this on the iPhone, but how do I do it on the Galaxy? And I reached for that 5X zoom a lot. And
how much was that phone, Jefferson?
That phone was $1,000 plus.
Yeah. $1,200?
I think so. It's kind of weird because I first bought a used S21, and I had that, and I got that for $400, and then I ended up trading it in as part of the price. So it's kind of hard to figure it out.
Okay.
But they figure around $1,000, and the telephoto is great. Great, 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 great. And,
Now, is that true telephoto or is
true,
it?
True, optical. Yeah.
It is. Okay. Now, see, one of my friends, who will remain nameless, at Apple told me that the zoom on the new phone is going to be 3X, not 5.
We have 3X now.
I know. He said it's just going to be 3X with some mojo to get you to 5X.
Okay. Well, in that case, forget it. I'm not interested.
Yeah. So now he could be wrong, but he's generally been right. Everything he's ever told me over the past, he's been wrong like once out of 10 times. Mm-hmm. Because, one of the things for those who work at Apple, they actually have 10 phones going around with different features. And then depending on the leaks, they're able to track what the leak is because only this guy got that phone. So you never know. It could be a dummy phone that he was looking at. But if it's a true 5X zoom with real glass, then yeah, I think there's a lot of people who might take advantage of that.
Well, I think they refer to it as a periscope.
Yes, right? That's what they're saying. Periscope, yeah. Zoom. Now, yeah. Is that worth $200 to you? Some
yes.
People it is. Jefferson, who makes a living with his iPhones, yeah, absolutely. But, the average person that buys an iPhone, are they going to need that? I don't think so.
No, but I will say that if you photograph birds, you'll prefer.
Oh, absolutely. If you want to photograph birds, you're gonna want a 20X. But here's the thing. I've come to the conclusion, Jefferson, no matter how hard I try, a 5X is not going to get you bird photography. A 10X is not going to get you bird photography. So if you're going to be a birder, you got to get a real camera and a real lens and do that. But I for me, especially on the cinema side, the 13 was great with ProRes. The 14's even better. And I do believe, now I know that you may disagree with me. I think you said early on you aren't impressed with it, but I do think the anti-shake works very well. Maybe they've changed the algorithm.
If you run. I mean, basically they told me you have to run with someone to see it. Now, have you, what use case have you done with it?
Well, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but from a wheelchair, I can tell you it definitely works.
Then you're running.
Yeah, I'm rolling.
You're rolling.
I will say that I am pretty. I have a pretty critical eye when it comes to video. I've spent a lot of time shooting video over the last couple of years and editing video in particular. I absolutely do not believe you need a gimbal if you have an iPhone 14 Pro X or above.
Yeah.
And I really think they've nailed it.
Yeah, I got some amazing shots just holding the phone out the window as we're driving. And it looks fantastic. Go ahead.
I just want to say, and they have improved a lot of these things quietly. They don't make a big Cupertino announcement when they upgrade the software in the anti-shake or when they upgrade the software in cinema mode. Trust me, they've done both with the 14. I can absolutely see cinematic mode working better. I can absolutely see portrait mode working better. I can absolutely see the anti-shake working better.
Okay, well, let's talk about cinematic mode in a second. First, the iPhone 15, the rumors are USB-C to charge.
That is good.
No more lightning port. And slightly different design with less of a frame, if you can really understand that. I don't think we really understand it. But it'll be redesigned a little bit, which means that your case won't fit, and you'll have to buy a new case. And then the new camera, the new focal length, if that is true. Those are sort of the big three that I've heard.
It'll be faster. It'll be more responsive. It'll have better battery life like it always does. I can definitely feel like the 14 Pro Max is noticeably faster than the 13, and I never felt like the 13 was slow. But the 13 battery, I could run out in a day. I haven't done that on the 14 yet. If the 15 is even better, well, there you go. Now, I don't know anybody, Jefferson, who said, you know what I'm waiting for when the new phone comes out? I want a thinner bevel.
Right.
I don't think anybody has said that. So that's what they're going to talk about a lot, but I don't care. I just care about the camera. Now, you know, I'm not saying I'm not going to get a 15. Because people that know me know it's hard for me not to have the latest, greatest, bestest thing. But I'm going to try and say no for a little while.
Okay. Well, let's talk about cinematic mode. A question from our listener, Roy. When should I use cinematic mode? You want to give that a try, Scott?
Well, it's real simple. When you want things to look cinematic. I mean, there's two kinds of basic video. There's the video that you shoot just like of the family where you're just making a memory video and, you know, the standard straight off the camera, press the video button, no futzing around with any controls. That's going to give you what you need. But if you're trying to do something artistic, if you're trying to do some storytelling, if you want to create animations or if you want to create movies or you want to actually do some kind of narrative, or you're like Jefferson, maybe you do some beautiful scenery of places, then I think cinematic mode has a place, particularly if you want to shoot at 24 frames a second, and particularly if you want to shoot in ProRes.
Yeah, and when you want to blur the background. But sometimes you'll be in a situation where you're not going to blur the background, where I'm right in front of a wall right now. Am I going to blur the background? Probably not.
No.
Yeah.
No. But I will say this is where, you know, we both agree that generally add-on lenses aren't necessary, but if you throw an add-on lens on top of cinematic mode, you can get that bokeh that you're looking for. And particularly if you do that. Now, again, I live in a world that's so different from what I used to live in and mostly probably different from our listeners. I do a lot of macro, a lot of close-up work of small objects these days. And I've started making movies involving Hot Wheels cars. And you know, it's funny, but, you know, you notice the bokeh of you can see everything in the back razor sharp, even wide open. And so I have been playing around with some add-on lenses and actual macro lenses put on the main camera lens as opposed to using the iPhone 14's macro lens.
Okay,
and I do see a difference.
I know our listeners will ask, what add-on lenses did you use?
Well, I'm not prepared to discuss that just yet.
Okay.
It was a not released lens.
Okay.
It will be very soon and in about the same time as the new iPhone 15. I will say that I have tested the Moment macro lens and it works well on the iPhone 14. I have tested the Moment fisheye lens, and it works well on the 14. I cannot say that about any other Moment lens. There's heavy vignetting, and those lenses were designed eons ago when iPhones shipped with one camera or maybe two cameras, but not three. If you have an older phone, then maybe those lenses will do something for you. But on the 14, they kind of suck. But there are companies making lenses that, and maybe even Moment is, I don't know. They are making lenses that are tuned to these new cameras. And there I see a really big difference, Jeff. And for so what I do, where I'm working on a tripod in the studio, making movies, it's okay to use those add-on lenses. They're not in the way.
Okay. Now, one thing about cinematic mode is that it blurs the background and it gives you choices for how much you want to be blurred. And sometimes the blur looks phony. Sometimes it looks really good. How do you deal with that?
Well, again, I feel like it's a trial and error thing. I think they've gotten much better at the blur looking more natural. But there are times when the computational photography just doesn't get it. And that's why I do think sometimes just better to do the old-fashioned, throw a lens on, open up your aperture, use a tool like Filmic Pro or something that gives you complete control over the camera, and do it the old-fashioned way. I mean, those in the audience who are seasoned camera veterans will know how to get these kinds of effects in camera and don't need cinematic mode. But one thing I learned about the iPhone from you, Jefferson Graham, is that some of the beauty in it is just using the native camera app. It's run and gun. It's ready to go at a moment's notice. You press this button, and generally, it looks really good. Yeah. Now, is it perfect? No. But guess what? It's not perfect when, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio is sitting there framing the shot either. There's people make mistakes. Things don't go the way you plan. Something happens. The lighting isn't just right. I do think lighting is something that changes the value of cinematic mode. If you have a scene that is properly lit for cinema, meaning if you have a scene where we have three dimensions, where your lighting is in layers, where we're doing a key light, a fill light, and a backlight, then you're going to get better results. But a lot of people don't want to mess with lights. They just want to go with natural light. So all of this stuff works more or less depending on how much you're willing to put into it.
Yeah. You know, I live in a beach community in Southern California, and you meet a lot of photographers, and they say, well, you know, I'm a natural light photographer, when they're out doing portraits of people. Yeah, right. They're lazy photographers. They're a natural light photographer. Give me a break.
Yeah, they haven't wanted to learn what's involved in using, add-on lights. But they are there's some beautiful add-on lights for the iPhone. They're not expensive, that are very small, that can make a difference. But if you really want to learn something about lighting, pick up a book by Joe McNally. Joe McNally might put 28 flashes in a scene, and he has got a diagram that will tell you what each of them is precisely doing to help him tell his story. And that's the reason why he's a big shot. You know, he can articulate with specificity what light is doing where, what, and when, and how. And the more you know about light, the better your photography and your video is going to be. I don't care what tool you use. But I do think cinematic mode for the average person, you know what, it's really kind of fun to sit there and play with it in post. That's the real value of it. If you use iMovie or if you use Final Cut, then you can actually, after the fact, do a push-pull camera move where you do a rack focus kind of thing where you've moved the focus from the front person to the back person, and you can do it after the fact. And I do find that to be kind of fun.
Okay, now I usually do that on the phone where I change the f-stop after the fact. I have not tried that in Final Cut. You can do that in Final Cut as well?
Oh, absolutely. It's just, it's wicked fun. It's just, you know, I amuse my friends all the time. Like, watch this. Either is she the subject or is he the subject? Oh, I don't know. Let's move back. Him, her, him, her. And you can just do it it kind of blows my mind. It's like, wait a minute. this is months ago I shot this, and I can still do that. That is a neat parlor trick. And I will just say, all of this stuff works better on the 14 than it did the 13. It's probably reasonable to assume it'll all work a little better on the 15 than the 14. Okay. You know, if you haven't, but here's the thing. Most people are into 2 or even 3 year plans on their phones, Jeff. So it's not a $200 upgrade. It's a $1,200 upgrade, you know, if they haven't paid off their old phone. And is it worth it for that? In almost every case, unless you're a pro that makes their living with these tools, the answer is no. But the great news is, if you've got a 12, a 13, a 14, you got a great camera.
Yeah.
Even an 11 isn't bad. Yeah. You know.
And this is a device that we'll use 365 days a year for a good 8 to 10 hours every day. So, I mean, you know, when you think, oh, it's really expensive, then think about how much you use it, and then it's not so bad, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's I was, when I wrote the piece for iPhonePhotoTeam.com, by the way, if you're listening to this show, I hope you're a regular visitor to iPhonePhotoTeam.com, because there's all kinds of free information by Jefferson and me and others there. But if you... You know, if you think about what you can do with this tool, holding one of these in your hand, you have got the equivalent of an audio recording studio, a video recording studio, a still photography studio. You've got all these creator tools. You can do anything your mind can think of. And there's so many cool apps that you can use. And then, of course, then there's all the stuff you can do in post. I also did a piece for iPhone Photo Team on Pro Raw. I think that if you're not getting the kind of images you want from Apple's RAW format, you might want to investigate getting that program and playing with it, because that's where I really saw the RAW images pop. Okay. Much better than Lightroom.
Let's talk for a minute about Taylor Swift. Like, I know that Scott is a huge Taylor Swift fan. And
she was just here in Seattle.
Yes.
And she had the people dancing in the stands so hard, it triggered the UW seismology alert system.
I know. And there's so many young teens, particularly young girls, who are so excited about going to the shows. She's playing in L.A. this weekend. And I got a call from a friend who said, I have a life or death question. My daughter wants to know how to get great pictures of Taylor Swift with her iPhone at the show. I came up with some ideas. I'd love to hear what Scott would recommend.
Well, do you know where he's sitting?
Assume it's not great.
Okay. So... here's the thing. You're never going to see Taylor Swift at the Taylor Swift concert. She's going to be 9 miles away.
Right.
But what you will see is the Jumbotron. And so my advice is, do a shot where you got the Jumbotron. That's what you're really focused on. And then there's the theoretical background. You can see there's a speck there that must be Taylor to give you some context. And try to do some stuff like that. But also just try to capture the emotion of the entire event. There'll be young girls shrieking and dancing and laughing. And those human interest stories that have nothing to do with Taylor directly might be some real important stuff for memories. You know, and do all the schmaltzy stuff. You know, photograph the signs and the merch and the, you know... The Taylor Swift this way, that kind of stuff. Photograph your ticket, and you know, try to really tell a story. Yeah. Try to pretend that you're going to do a documentary.
Yeah, this is what I told her, actually. And I said I'd be way more interested in shots of the crowd screaming and yelling than I would of the speck of Taylor Swift on the stage, right?
Yeah.
That stuff would be great. But I also told her to shoot RAW. So I met with her, and I shifted her camera. I went into camera options, turned on RAW, told her to shoot RAW so that she could at least crop the image, whatever she gets, out of Taylor, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it just depends on where you're sitting. If you're lucky to be up close, then maybe you got a chance of getting a shot with Taylor Swift in the scene. But, you know... most people are up in the nosebleed section. And these concerts, by the way, I don't know if you've read about them, Jefferson. These are the biggest audiences in history.
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest concert tour in history. You might say, oh, that's got to be the Beatles or Elton John. Nope, not even close. This young woman is unbelievably talented in every way, not just as a singer, but as a business person, as a, you know, a marketer, as a person who's built an incredible following. And so this is truly a cultural icon for our time. And we don't know if we'll see another one of these again. So it's, you want to document as much as you can of the event. Now, I personally can't see myself at a Taylor Swift concert, but if I was there, I'd be doing all those things. I'd really be looking at the stories. In fact, I, you know, because the iPhone is so good at this and you can get close to people, I'd interview some people like, hey, why did you come to the concert? Or what's your favorite Taylor Swift song? Or what's your favorite Taylor Swift memory? Just go down the line and get a few of these things. And then you're just going to cut in maybe 8 seconds of that in a little video montage. It, you know, it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, the good news is that Zadie, who's the young girl, she's here to tell us all about how it went. So let's play the tape and let Zadie tell us how she fared. All right. Yeah. Once again, we have Zadie Kruglov with us. Last time we spoke to her, she was swimming underwater with an iPhone. Now she is several hours away from seeing Taylor Swift in concert in Los Angeles. She had all sorts of questions about taking great pictures with her iPhone, and the world wants to know, how did she do? Say hi, Zadie.
I think it went well. My dad definitely took better pictures than I did because I was shaking a lot. But I don't really think I could help that, all things considered. I still think I got really good pictures.
Okay. Well, before you went, we talked about shooting raw so you could crop and the fact that you wouldn't be able to see her very well and that, you know, shoot the Jumbotron and then shoot the scene. So did you do that?
Not really much of the scene, but I definitely shot the Jumbotron.
Okay, because that was the only way you were going to get pictures of Taylor Swift, basically.
Yeah.
What about shooting burst mode? Did you do that?
My dad definitely did that more than I did.
Okay, you were probably enjoying the music too much, right?
Yeah.
For anybody who hasn't been to a Taylor Swift concert, we've been reading about it, but we don't know. From your perspective, what was it like?
It was basically like the closest to Barbie Land that you could get to in the real life. There's like the most amount of women dressed up and all complimenting each other, even though they're all strangers.
Okay, and with a common interest, because you all love the music, right?
Yeah.
If you had to do it all over again, and we were going tonight, and you were going to take pictures again, what would your game plan be?
I actually did get tickets to closing night, so I'll be back on Wednesday. I think I'm actually going with my best friend, and she's got a point-and-shoot that has really good optical zoom, so I think I'm going to more heavily rely on her for the good pictures, and I'll try to get more... She'll be more picture side, I'll be more video side.
Okay, so I saw one of your videos you did on CapCut. Tell everybody about that video.
So for over 100 days, I had a countdown widget on my phone, and I screenshotted it every day. Then I edited it, all those screenshots, into a four-second clip. And then one of Taylor Swift's songs that she performed on tour is It's Been a Long Time Coming, But It's You and Me, That's My Whole World. And so for the It's Been a Long Time Coming part, I did the studio version, and then I put in my own video of me singing along to those lyrics live in concert, and then I made a little video out of that.
How do you get 100 screenshots into a four-second video?
You have to add it into CapCut, turn it into a 0.1-second clip, and then that's still too long because it's 127 photos. So you export the video, you save it to your phone, and then you just speed it up.
Now that you've been there and now that you're going again on Wednesday, what recommendations would you have for getting great photos of a Taylor Swift concert on an iPhone or a Samsung or a Pixel?
Shoot the screen, but if you can, try to get a bit of the stage in it because it's also cool to see the action on stage. She has light up bracelets in the crowd to make the crowd feel like it's more of an interactive show. And they do things like put hearts in the crowd and put rainbows. And it's really cool to try to get a shot of that as well. Don't try, if you're taking a video, try not to scream sing, because I did that for all of mine. And look, it is really fun to look back on, but.
But it's not something you want to listen to, right? Afterwards?
Well, it is funny to listen to, but yeah.
Okay. And how many pictures and video do you figure you took last night?
I actually added it up. There is 5,600 that I took last night.
You took over 5,000 pictures and video. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you looked at them all?
I've been going through them, but I'm at the point where I don't want to delete anything. So it's just all kind of sitting there for now.
You have a nice evening and enjoy your countdown till Wednesday. Okay. Bye, Zadie.
Bye, Dave.
Thank you, Zadie. I wish I was at that show. And even Scott wishes he was at the show too, just for the photographic possibilities, right?
Shake it off. Shake it off. That's the only thing I think I know from Taylor Swift.
Okay. Well, that's a good song. The iPhone photo team. Let's remind everybody to please sign up. We need some new members there. We need to get more people checking out this community of like-minded iPhone photographers. Don't you think?
Yeah, please stop by. I'm going to start contributing again, and we're going to, trying to come up with some fresh ideas to make the site a little more interesting. And I'm hopeful that we're going to talk Jeff into creating a YouTube channel for us so that we can do more stuff there.
That sounds like a good idea. I'd love to do it. iPhonePhotoTeam.com. Scott's he's got a whole bunch of new websites. So tell everybody about what you're doing.
Well, listen, only one that really matters is toyphotographs.com, or you can follow me on Instagram at Hot Wheels Fan 1. And I'm off Twitter. I am on Facebook at Scott Bourne. I canceled my Twitter account. It's gone. Or should I say my ex account? I'm not doing as much on social media as I used to. I'm going to try to be more at iPhone Photo Team. If people want to reach me, that's the best place to do it. Or iPhonePhotoShow@gmail.com.
Okay. I still have my X account. I haven't canceled it, but I haven't been posting. So the best place to find me is my newsletter, jeffersongraham.substack.com, iPhonePhotoTeam.com, and YouTube, youtube.com/PhotoWalksTV. This weekend, we have the first of my episodes from the Big Western trip. We'll be visiting South Dakota, so I hope you'll check it out. We're thrilled to have Scott back. Please do it again.
I'll try to get back as soon as I can. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.